Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. The mission statement of the U.S. Small Business Administration, SBA, says it was created in 1953 as an independent agency of the federal government to aid, counsel, assist, and protect the interests of small business concerns, to preserve free competitive enterprise, and to maintain and strengthen the overall economy of our nation. Quote, "The SBA helps Americans start, build, and grow businesses. In a competitive world economy, that is not a simple task." Here to discuss it with us is Matt Varilek, SBA's Region 8 Administrator, responsible for North and South Dakota, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and Montana. Matt, many thanks for joining us on Home Ground.
Thanks, Brian.
Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
Well, I'm from South Dakota, which is also part of Region 8, and from the southeast part of the state, a town called Yankton is where I grew up. Happens to be the hometown of Tom Brokaw. And my mom worked at a bank for many years there in Yankton, about 25 years, I believe it was. And so I have memories as a kid of going into the bank to see mom. And to me, it was like Halloween every day because those banks always had free candy for me, which was nice.
And your dad?
Dad's done a number of things, but a lot related to home improvements and construction. He's worked at lumber yards and these days has his own business, Varilek Improvement.
And I see in terms of education, you have a degree in philosophy.
That's right. My undergraduate degree is in philosophy.
What'd you learn from that you didn't know before?
Well, I would say I learned how to think critically about a whole range of things. Sometimes people ask me, well, Mr. Philosophy Guy, what's the meaning of life? And I won't claim that I know the answer to that one. But I did have a great time studying philosophy because it just teaches you how to think in systematic ways about a range of topics.
And if I asked you if there was any philosopher that hits you closer to your heart than another, would anybody jump out?
Oh, goodness. I haven't spent a whole lot of time thinking about my philosophy studies lately. I did my senior thesis back in the day on a guy called Jürgen Habermas. He's pretty prominent in sociology circles, but also related to ethics, and ethics was something that I spent a lot of time thinking about.
You also went to Cambridge and the University of Glasgow in Scotland. That must have been an interesting experience from a guy from the Dakotas.
It was, and I was just joking this morning with some other folks that was not Glasgow in Montana. It was the one overseas. But no, I had a great experience both in Cambridge and in Glasgow, and was actually only able to do it thanks to some generous scholarships from a Rotary organization in one case and from the Gates Foundation in the other case. And, you know, being abroad, I got a great education as far as the classroom goes, but it's also interesting to get a lens on the world, and I had a lot of classmates who were from other countries, not just Scotland and England, but Bolivia and Botswana and all sorts of interesting places, and appreciated what I learned about those countries, but it also makes you appreciate home. And so I was excited to come back to the U.S. with a different perspective.
Just one more question on growing up, because early life and education affects people's values over time, typically. How would you compare the young man who came back from your final overseas education with the guy who left?
Well, when I went to Scotland, it was to study economic development at the University of Glasgow. And in fact, University of Glasgow is where Adam Smith did a lot of his academic work.
How interesting.
The Wealth of Nations, The Invisible Hand, those kinds of things. So that was a good place to study economics. And as you mentioned, as an undergraduate, I studied philosophy. And so I was making a little bit of a left turn when it came to my academics. And luckily, the Rotary organization took a chance on me and helped to facilitate that. But so I came home with a much broader perspective and more information about how economics works. And I don't claim that I know it all even now, but that set me on a path where I'm now able to do some of the things that I do at the Small Business Administration, trying to help achieve economic development and help create jobs and help entrepreneurs to achieve their dreams of business ownership.
Let's talk about that. First question, why is a Small Business Administration needed? Having read the mission statement, someone might say that's what free markets are for. Government is not necessary, and you know there's a whole line of thought that goes along that. What would you say to that basic question?
Well, the free market is very powerful. I just mentioned the Wealth of Nations and the Invisible Hand, and we consider ourselves a partner to those entities that are making things happen in the private sector. We work very closely with banks. We work very closely with those private businesses, as well as nonprofit organizations to nudge the market towards more job creation. Now, if you can go into a bank and get a loan just based on your own knowledge and your own assets and your own skills, we're very happy for that. But we find a lot of cases where the bank might not quite be willing to make that loan for your new business based on what you've told them so far. And maybe with the guarantee that you can get through the Small Business Administration, the bank will make the loan.
What is the guarantee? What do you mean?
Sure. So that's one of the main things that the SBA offers. We have loan guarantees, which act basically as an insurance policy. So if the bank makes the loan to you and they're not quite comfortable with everything, that guarantee ensures that they will get paid back even if you, the entrepreneur, can't ultimately pay back the loan on your own. Well, with that additional confidence and assurance through the SBA guarantee, more banks, more credit unions are willing to make more loans to businesses. And consequently, we have more jobs and more economic activity here in Montana and Wyoming and across the country, really.
Okay, someone might say banks have a standard for granting or not granting a loan. Your guarantee alters that standard to some extent, giving them increased comfort. The proof's in the pudding. What's your default record?
Yeah, the default rates, luckily, are very low. Now, you might wonder, well, does this guarantee result in risky behavior? But fortunately, the default rates are very low. And in fact, in Montana in particular, we have one of the lowest across the country. And so you consider that these are loans that might not otherwise get made. And yet once they are made, in something like high 90% of cases, the loans do get paid back right on time. And so that's all additional businesses and additional jobs that we wouldn't otherwise have. Again, we're partners in the market. We believe in the power of the market, and we're just facilitating more market opportunities for more people.
But as you said, you're also nudging the market. That was your words. You're nudging the market to do some things that it wouldn't otherwise do on its own that you feel are obviously beneficial to the people and the economy of the United States.
Yeah, and to put a dollar value on it, we announced somewhat recently our loan figures for FY 2013. And across the country, those loan guarantees facilitated an extra $29 billion in lending. And so it's, I call it a nudge, but it's a significant economic impact. And in Montana, it was something like, I believe, $83 million in extra lending that might not otherwise have occurred without that guarantee. And again, it's good lending because the default rate is low. And as you walk down the street in Helena or whatever town you might be in, you can look at a whole bunch of successful businesses that are partners of the SBA. And we're very proud of that. And in fact, part of what I'm doing during my time here in the state is visiting some of those businesses to see firsthand the impact of what we do.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We are talking with Matt Verilek, Regional Administrator of the Small Business Administration. My first job was in a mom-and-pop grocery store in Glen Ellyn, California that no longer exists. There were three groceries. Now there's one in that little town. I think it's fair to say over that, longer than I'd like to admit, probably 50 years, there's been a consolidation and a trend for larger and larger businesses at the expense of smaller businesses. Is it your sense that you guys have a positive effect on that in the sense of helping small businesses make it? And, you know, there's obviously efficiencies of scale, et cetera, that leads toward larger business. Any
Sure.
comments about that?
Yeah, and in fact, I think there's academic research that shows you want a mix of firm types in the economy. You need those big firms because they have certain resources and capabilities that the smaller ones don't, but then the smaller ones make a huge contribution. In fact, we think the smaller ones are the backbone of the economy in terms of innovation and the people that they employ. And our agency, the Small Business Administration, as you would expect, is focused on the smaller firms. And as for whether we have an impact, absolutely we do. And in fact, I'd like to just mention, to give a little summary of what we do at SBA, we already talked about the loan guarantees piece, and that's one of the core pieces of what we do. We like to summarize our activities with this acronym, the three C's and a D. And the first C is capital, and that relates to those loan guarantees and other programs that we have related to venture capital, equity investments in businesses. A second C is counseling, so that we can work with folks that have good ideas for businesses but maybe have not figured out every last piece of what they need to make it successful. The third C is contracting. We have a number of programs to help small business owners compete for opportunities to provide goods and services to the federal government, state governments, and also to get into the supply chains of some of the bigger private companies. And we feel like we're pretty effective with those. So that's the three C's of capital, counseling, and contracting. And then the D that I mentioned is disaster. It's a somewhat lesser known feature of what SBA does.
It sounds kind of provocative.
Well, we certainly don't wish for disasters, and we wished that those programs were never needed. But nevertheless, we know that wildfires happen and floods happen and other natural calamities. And in those cases, under certain circumstances, if there are uninsured damages to businesses, but also even to homeowners and renters, SBA can provide low-interest loans to try to get folks back on their feet a little bit more quickly than they otherwise would. And I'm based out of our Colorado office, and there we recently had some very serious floods in the northern part of the state.
I remember.
Yep. And SBA has played, a very important role in providing some of the capital to get folks back on their feet quickly.
Let's take those one at a time. Counseling. Let's say I have a good business idea and I want a loan. I go to the bank, they say, sorry, where's your business plan? Do you help me with a business plan or get me to somebody who could?
Yeah, that's definitely something we do. A lender told me one time, if you come in and the business plan is simply on the back of a napkin, that's kind of a red flag. And sometimes it's just in your head, not even on the napkin yet. And so we can certainly help people to flesh those ideas out. Because when you go to the banker, we want you to be able to put your best foot forward. And so we have trained individuals who can help you sort out that business plan. Or maybe you're strong in all aspects except the accounting piece. Because we know that sometimes the people who have the very best business ideas maybe haven't actually built a business before. And we do a lot of this counseling work through a network of partners, resource partners that we...
So they're not just all federal staff then?
Right. So some of the counseling is done through SBA staff. But in addition, we work very closely with what are known as small business development centers. And in Montana, for example, we have 10 different centers. A person can walk in the door or make an appointment ahead of time and sit down with someone on an individual basis and get free and confidential guidance on your particular idea. And we can help you strengthen that idea and put it on paper, do some of the financial projections so that when you do go into the bank or the credit union seeking that loan, you're putting your best foot forward. Now, should say also that sometimes the product of that counseling is that people don't go forward, and that can be a good thing too. If it turns out that the idea doesn't quite fit together once you really dig into the details, that can be a useful service as well so that people aren't pouring their blood, sweat, and tears into something that's not going to succeed. And I mentioned the partners. I mentioned the small business development centers. We also work closely with women's business centers that have particular resources there, as well as the SCORE organization, which has counselors who typically have lots of business experience themselves and can share that with folks that are getting started so that maybe they don't have to make some of the same mistakes that the counselor made.
Okay, I'm hearing you say that in addition to your expertise, you're in a partnership relationship with different organizations, so you're leveraging your resources.
That's right. You know, in Montana, for example, we have staff in Helena and Billings, I believe, but the small business development centers actually have 10 offices. So between all of those resources, we feel like we have a better coverage that way so that wherever you may be across this vast country of ours, you're not too far away from being able to talk to somebody face-to-face. Now, we also have a lot of resources online so that you don't even have to travel to someplace in person if that's your preference. But still, if you do like to do business face-to-face, we've got options for you.
If any of our listeners are interested in accessing the services, how do they get hold of you?
Well, one simple way, wherever you may be, is to check out our website, and that's simple. It's www.sba.gov. And then if you're in Montana, for example, you can call our district office based in Helena, and the number is 406-441-1080. And I would mention, too, that our office here in Montana is run by a guy named Wayne Gardella. He's a great resource. He's an accountant. He formerly has been a banker and worked at the Export-Import Bank, and so he's got a special skill when it comes to selling goods abroad, and he would be happy to point you in the right direction. Whether it's SBA that can help you or one of our partners, we try to follow kind of a no-wrong-door policy where you don't need to know the details of all these different programs that we talk about, but if something piques your interest and you feel like one of them might be a fit for you, we will try to point you in the right direction.
Second scenario, I already have a business. It's a successful small business. I think we can expand. I've got some ideas. Can you help me?
Yeah, we in fact have a pretty good mix when it comes to the types of businesses that we help, a good mix between folks that are just starting out and folks that are already in business and looking to expand. You know, in principle, the assistance we provide is similar. Again, we can sit down with you and talk through those issues. But when you are expanding, you may be facing different challenges. There's a book, I believe it's called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Once you've launched the business and achieved a certain amount of success, taking it to the next level might require different managerial skills or different kinds of equipment and those kinds of things. And we can certainly help you think through them. And once again, deliver a finished product in terms of a business plan that will maximize your chances of success.
When you say you might need a different level of managerial expertise, as an example, that hadn't occurred to me sitting here, that I would call that in-depth, sophisticated advice. In other words, it's beyond just the numbers. It's looking at what it takes to make a business grow. And I'm hearing you say that your organization provides that kind of substantive counseling.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you might start a business in your garage, and it's just you, and you've got a great idea, and you develop your widget, and then you start to sell it, and you get some success, and you realize, well, I'm going to need some more people to be able to take this to a greater capacity. But maybe you don't have the managerial skills. You're a good maker of widgets, but you're not necessarily the person who has done hiring before or figured out where to go to get the resources. So that's something else that we can help with. Or maybe you haven't done the accounting or other aspects, marketing, those kinds of things. So we can help. And, you know, it's sometimes useful to illustrate counseling with examples. And I was in North Dakota a while ago, and we had made plans to visit an SBA client that tests certain kinds of safety equipment on some of the oil wells. And they, in fact, had worked with our Small Business Development Center to put the plans together. It was an individual who had worked in government for a time but wanted to go into private business, and then had a son who's a veteran and was coming home from his service and wanted to join with his parents in a business. And so through the Small Business Development Center, they were able to put the plans together, launch the successful business. And so I visited there and had an interesting time learning about some of the equipment. And I also asked, well, how did you find the Small Business Development Center? And I'm glad you did, of course. And it was kind of a funny story because the woman who is part of the business said, well, my hairdresser went to the Small Business Development Center and got the hair salon going. And she told me what a great experience she had. And that let us know that there was this resource available. And consequently, we got two businesses out of it. And, you know, that's one of the challenges that we have is we've got great resources at the SBA, but sometimes we are known as the best kept secret in government. And we don't want to be a secret. And so that's partly why I appreciate the chance to talk to your listeners. And we know that a lot of the way people find out is through that word of mouth as well. So I hope that if anyone out there thinks that any of this could be useful to them, they will check us out and go to the website or get in touch with our offices.
Again, I think as you said, the number was 406-441-1080 if people wanted to call the Helena office.
That's it.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We are talking with Matt Verilek, Regional Administrator of the Small Business Administration. This counseling subject interests me, and when I was looking through your magazine, which is called Small Business Resource, I was surprised at the diversity of specialized counseling opportunities you offer, and I want to read some of them and see what you have to say. Emerging Leaders Initiative, what is that?
Yeah, Emerging Leaders is a specialized version of counseling where folks that are already in business and who have some potential to really grow more aggressively in the future go through a 9-month training program where they get more in-depth training than you would get in simply a one-time session. And it's also done as a cohort or a group where the same individuals go to these classes over the course of those 9 months. And I've had the pleasure of speaking at a graduation ceremony for the Emerging Leaders Group. And you can see the folks involved in it really build some bonds with one another. And also by building those relationships, they get to learn not only from the instructor of the program, but from each other. Because we find that entrepreneurship sometimes can be kind of a lonely endeavor. You might have a great idea for a business, but the rest of the world might not know or care. And sometimes if you face difficulties in realizing that opportunity, you don't know where to turn for help. Well, of course, you should turn to the SBA if we can help you. But in addition, it's great to be able to talk to your fellow business owners who might be facing some of those same challenges. And if they can share their insights about how they overcame the challenges, well, that's all to the good. And the Emerging Leaders Program is a great example of that, where you get some technical training from the curriculum, but also you make some great relationships that will enable you then to go back to your business and really expand to your full potential.
One of the things that's impressed me, frankly, in looking through this magazine, there are a lot of things that are good ideas, but nobody monitors the outcome. That's often the case in government programs, in my experience. And let me just read something. Post-training economic impact results from responding executives between 2009 and 2011 indicate significant revenue growth, with respondents averaging $1.8 million year-to-year increases, a 67% increase, creation of 908 new full-time positions, that's just slightly under two jobs per business, and about $26 million in new financing. Another one is Women's Business Centers. What's that?
Sure, that's another place where folks can go to get counseling to develop their businesses. And in fact, I should say that women's business ownership is a real priority for this administration. And in fact, the previous administrator of the SBA, the top person, was a very successful female business owner, Karen Mills.
Somebody might say, why should the government be involved in the gender of business and entrepreneurship? What would you say to that?
Well, because we want to help everyone. It's not that we want to help one group or another, but we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity. And you know, to the extent that business may have a tilt in one gender or the other, we want to try to just make sure that everyone can have an opportunity. So Karen Mills provided great leadership and put a real emphasis on this. And I should say it's personal to me as well, because my wife started a small business, and she did it from our dining room table, literally. She and some friends, they used their laptops and their cell phones, and I got to sort of watch over her shoulder as they got things off the ground. Small consulting business doing some work for political causes and also nonprofits. My joke on that one is that nobody was urging my wife on to success more than I was, partly because I wanted her to achieve her dreams of business ownership, but also because I wanted that darn dining room table back. And lo and behold, the good news, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story is that it did turn out well. They did grow enough to get an office space, and we got the table back.
I see you have a special Veterans Business Outreach Center program. What's that?
Well, we do a variety of things to try to help veterans coming back after their service to get into business. And in fact, we know that vets start businesses at a higher rate than the rest of the population, partly because they acquire great skills when they're in the military, and they can go on to apply those in the private sector. So we have counseling opportunities so that if a vet has an idea for a business, but once again, they may not know quite all the pieces of how to put it together, they can work with us and make it a reality. And also, I should mention another piece beyond counseling is that on our loans, there are certain fees involved in getting one of the loans. It's a net benefit, of course, but sometimes there are fees to cover administrative costs and so forth. But one thing that we've announced recently, that the administration announced, is that for loans to vets, when it comes to business, loans of less than $350,000 will have the fees set at zero.
One of the elements of the Montana community that suffers very high poverty rates are Indians on reservation lands. Do you have any targeted programs for Native Americans?
Well, we help Native Americans. We have an Office of Native American Affairs led by a guy named Chris James, who's very effective. You're right that we have communities across our region and across the country where there's persistent poverty, and some of them are Native American communities, and we certainly want to make a contribution to addressing that and creating more job opportunities and private sector job opportunities. And so we have resources to help with contracting opportunities, for example, for Native American-owned firms to do work providing goods and services to the federal government. We work with partner agencies to try to make sure that financing is available on reservations, where sometimes it is harder to come by alone. And so the Department of Treasury has something called the Community Development Financial Institutions Fund. And that helps to make more loan capital available to Native American small businesses. And couple that with some of the counseling so that you're making loans to folks that have good training and have a good capacity to actually pay back the loan and again, grow those jobs and make them sustainable over the long term.
From your magazine, again, it refers to an SBA Office of Native American Affairs, and there is a website, www.sba.gov/NAA. Of the three C's, that leaves contracting. What are we talking about?
Yeah, and you know, I mentioned a moment ago in speaking about our programs specifically related to Native American business assistance, that part of what we do there is to help Native American-owned firms pursue contracting opportunities, and that includes others as well. We help a variety of small firms pursue contracting opportunities because there is a goal of making sure that 23% of what the federal government spends in terms of buying goods and services goes to small businesses. And so we work closely with our partner agencies across the government to make sure that they are taking a look at their small business suppliers and giving them a fair shot to deliver those business opportunities. And this adds up to billions and billions of dollars in the hands of small businesses. And we know that that can be a stepping stone to lots of other business. And so I think the contracting programs are very important. Another aspect of it is what we call our mentor-protege program, where we will pair a small business with a larger business that already has experience in contracting. Together, they can bid on things, and the larger business will also transmit or share some of their experience in navigating the world of government contracting to build the capacity of the small business.
You mentioned that you received part of your education in the hometown of Adam Smith, the economic philosopher who wrote it around the time of the American Revolution and is now a source of almost gospel for people who would argue that the government has no business intervening in the market. The market is by definition the best allocator of resources. Clearly your work, including the small business set-aside, does intervene in market forces. If I ask you to take off your hat as an SBA person and just as a citizen of the United States, how do you feel about that? Does it make sense or not, and why?
Well, you know, I would want to go back and check if what exactly Adam Smith had to say about the role of government. But we know that there is a role to make sure that it is a level playing field and that people in the market have access to equal information so that they can make their market decisions fairly. And look, at the SBA, we're a partner to the private market. We believe strongly in the power of the private sector, and we are a partner to it. And in fact, if you ask the average business owner around town if they've had any interaction with us, in a lot of cases, I think they would speak highly of the role that we play. Markets don't always work just perfectly, and so sometimes with that extra SBA loan guarantee, for example, a lender can have comfort to make a loan they might not otherwise make. And you look at the fact that our default rates are so low, those are good loans, and they're creating good jobs and making a positive impact on the economy here in Montana and across the country.
Matt Verilek, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.